Let's join our hearts together and go to God in prayer. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It shows us the way. Be faithful to us again this day as we continue to read your scriptures and hear your voice. God, you are alone, our rock and our redeemer, our sure place, our foundation. We give you thanks. Amen. The gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 5. It begins with verse 13 and ends with verse 20. It follows from last week's reading, which were the Beatitudes, the beginning of chapter 5 from Matthew. It is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he's speaking in an intimate way to his disciples, but also in a manner that those crowds who have gathered can hear him as well. Let's listen to the Word of God. You can follow along on page 4 in your Pew Bible, New Testaments. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. They were there on the mountainside with Jesus because he had called them. He had said to them, "Come and follow me." And they dropped everything and followed. They followed him as he healed too many to count. And they follow him as the crowds behind, also following, grew larger and larger. They followed him because something about him, something about who he was, spoke to who they were. Something about him called forth something more from within them. Something about him enlivened something within them, illumined something within them they had not yet seen. Something about Jesus was worth dropping their nets and turning from everything familiar and following. And they had not been following for too long when he took them up to the mountainside, which was more of a hillside. And he called them, and he named them, and he marked them, blessed. Blessed are you. You are blessed when you are certain that you are not. You are blessed. When you are hungry, when you are mourning, when you are meek, when you are downtrodden, you are blessed. And from their blessing, which was backwards to everything they knew about blessing, he goes on to name them salt and light. You are salt. You enhance what is around you. Even a pinch of you can make everything around you come alive, burst forth, bring out the best of another. And you are light. You guide and you shine. Even a single candle flame can bring light to the darkest corners or call home a wayward traveler. even one still far off. I read this week that a single candle flame in the right conditions can be seen from 1.6 miles away. You are salt and you are light. You are simple and also essential and elemental. Salt cannot help but be salty, and light cannot help but shine. Jesus marks them and names them salt and light. He doesn't ask them to become salt or light. He doesn't encourage them saying, "You can do it if only you try hard enough." He doesn't extol them saying, "You best become salt and light or else." Rather, he identifies them, claiming them, claiming you. You are salt and light. You cannot help but be salt and light. You who are not cleaned up still shine. You who are not pure still spice. The poor, the mournful, the meek, the persecuted, the hungry, the sick, the crippled, the frightened. You are salt and you are light. The outcast, the misfit, the low wage earner. You, all of you. You are salt and you are light. You are essential. You are worthwhile. You are treasured. We forget that salt was treasured. But I also learned this week that salt and salary have the same root, because Roman soldiers were paid often with salt. That's how valuable it was. It was currency. You are essential. You are worthwhile. You are treasured. And I am commissioning you. I am calling you. I am choosing you. I am teaching you. I am sending you. If ever you have busied yourself with trying to earn God's favor or God's love, if ever you have troubled yourself with trying to prove yourself worthy, if ever you have practiced piety so that you might be judged as precious, Jesus' words ought stop you in your tracks. Because salt and light, they are precious. They are valuable. They are priceless. To all those who consider themselves worthless and of no value, Jesus makes it clear, you are valuable. You are worthy. And that might be your takeaway for today. That might be the good news you need to hear. You can tune out to the rest. To any lie that comes into your head that claims that you are of no worth, Jesus proclaims, calls, and marks, you are valued. You are worthy. You are loved. And you need not prove it, because God has already made it so. God created you so. It is your identity. And also, it is your purpose. Our vocation or our purpose in this time and place is not to lose our saltiness and not to extinguish our light. The temptation is to forego our saltiness, to retreat, to hide, to choose bland over bold. The temptation is to turn off the light, to stick our heads in the sand, to close our eyes to the things being illuminated all around us. At least that's my temptation, and maybe yours too. Better to tune out than to speak up. Better to play it safe, even if that means sacrificing the safety of another. To forgo our saltiness or to hide our God-given light is to keep our love for Jesus a hushed and embarrassed secret. To forgo our saltiness and to hide our God-given light is to deny the power and hope of Christ at work in our lives and in the world. Instead, in favor of a simple status quo, even kill, uninterrupted norm. It's to dim ourselves, our knowledge, our zest. And to do so is to deny our very true essence. God created us to spice and to shine. We are called to live wisely, creatively, and in balance, not to oversalt to the point of burning or to overshine to the point of blinding. Salt and light at their best sustain and enrich life. As disciples of Christ, salt and light are our identity and our purpose. They are who we are and what we are meant to do, one and the same. As one commentator I read this week put it, like salt and light, God made you as a small thing that can make a big difference for our larger whole. God made you to spice things up, not to overpower the dish, but to enliven it, enhance it, enhancing and highlighting its other flavors. And God made you to shine as only you can, a flame that can light up an entire room or help guide a lost traveler home. And maybe that's your good news today, that God has made you this way, blessed you, spicy and shining, so that you might bless the world. You are salt and you are light, and on these two promises, you can step boldly into the world to participate, engage, and enrich. God and Jesus stands with us on the hillsides of our lives, calling us to claim and to embrace and to live out these gifts of salt and light. We do have to choose to be salty and luminous, lest we lay waste to the gift of discipleship. We do have to choose to fulfill and embody and give shape to the things that our identity makes possible. And we do have to choose to be who God created us to be. In the rest of Matthew, Jesus will teach his disciples exactly what salt and light look like, what being salt and light looks like. And it's not a forgetting and abolishing, a letting go of the law. It's a fulfilling, a giving shape, a manifestation of the law, that same law and prophets we heard from Isaiah. Ultimately, to be salt and to be light is to be an outpouring of love. If we want to enliven, enhance, deepen, illumine, and preserve the world we live in, we must not hide within these walls. We must not cluster and congregate simply for the sake of our own comfort. It takes all energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, as we will soon hear. Salt doesn't exist to preserve itself. It exists to preserve what is not itself. And light does not exist to illumine itself. It exists to give life and light to that which is not itself. We are salt and we are light. It's not a question of striving to become what we are not. We already are. Rather, it's a question of living into the precious fullness of what we already are. By God's grace, we are salt and we are light. And also, by God's grace, may we spice and shine. Amen.